Highways Voices, the podcast of Highways News, your one-stop destination for all the news about the highways and transport technology industries, and our must-read daily newsletter.
This week on Highways Voices, we hear how technology is ending the delivery driver free-for-all.
They've got a defined time to deliver the goods, and they can do it quickly, efficiently, and without any fuss or delay.
We're moving from first-come, first-served into order on the streets, and the delivery drivers are they're really warming to it.
Curbside management in central London is our subject today, with the launch of Grid Smarter City's new curb solution in Westminster. There'll be no hanging around on this week's Highways Voices.
Highways Voices, in association with partner organisations the Transport Technology Forum, ITS UK, LCRIG and Adept.
So the councillor in charge of highways in the city of Westminster to come, alongside Grid CEO Neil Heron and a couple of delivery drivers testing out the solution. All that after the headlines from highways-news.com with Adrian Tatum.
Cycling is an active and environmentally friendly way for school children to travel and stay healthy. But with only 3% of 5 to 16-year-olds cycling to school in England, it could be parents who are standing in the way, according to new research. A new study from Brunel University, London, shows that children's cycling frequency is strongly influenced by their parents' cycling behaviour. Childhood obesity is a major public health issue, and recent evidence suggests that higher levels of active travel to and from school, such as walking and cycling, are associated with greater moderate to vigorous physical activity in children. The new research studied parental attitudes towards cycling and their children's active travel behaviour. Elsewhere, Coventry City Council is set to invest almost £20 million in improving roads and pavements in the next financial year. The ambitious plan covers more than 160 projects that include repairing and maintaining the city's roads and pavements, and improving flood protection and investing in road safety schemes to help reduce road collisions. The money will be used to improve the worst affected roads and pavements, including repairing potholes and ensuring that drivers and pedestrians can use routes safely. And the National Winter Service Research Group, NWSRG, has launched a series of CPD-accredited local roadshow events to help boost the knowledge and understanding of its national guidance for winter service. These one-day events will be tailored to the needs of individual locations, taking into consideration local operations, climate and topography. The first roadshow is set to take place in Manchester this April. Authorities, contractors and those involved in higher operations are invited to attend and put forward ideas for the agenda.
And don't forget that when it comes to highways and transport technology news, we are the only place you need to go for everything you need to know, online all the time with all our stories on our LinkedIn and X feeds. And if you sign up to our daily newsletter, into your inbox every lunchtime.
Highways Voices, the podcast from highwaysnews.com. Highwaysnews.com.
Swarco improves quality of life by making the travel experience safer, quicker, more convenient, and environmentally sound. From software as a service traffic management solutions to parking, VMS, EV charging, and road marking too, find out how Swarco can deliver more efficient and safer traffic management. Swarco, the better way, every day.
Electric vehicle delivery drivers in the heart of London will be able to use a new online booking system to remotely reserve places to unload, reducing battery consumption and removing the stress of having to drive around, finding a place to load or having to park illegally. Westminster City Council has contracted software solutions company Grid Smarter Cities to test out the curb booking platform so that drivers of electric vans can book a slot at two parking bays in Abbey Orchard Street and Russell Street, close to the shopping area of Victoria Street and to Covent Garden. The curb platform allows a driver to pre-book loading and unloading space for up to 90 minutes, 24 hours a day. This means drivers get surety of a space in advance for delivery drivers, reducing idling and search time, and also allowing them to park long enough to make onward deliveries by greener modes, such as by foot or cargo bike. I went along to the launch to find out more and first asked Councillor Paul de Moldenburg, who is Westminster Council's Cabinet Member for City Management and Air Quality, why he was so keen to get involved.
Well, there's huge competition for curbside space. We reckon there's over 40 different users of the curb, and it's impossible to keep up unless we are on top of it 24 hours, 7 days a week. So what we're trying to do is try new ways of managing the curb so that we can keep on top of it, we can keep the city moving, we can reduce congestion, and we can help business do their day-to-day job of delivering stuff to our businesses, our shops, restaurants and cafes every day.
We've got the project here with the bookable curb space. So you go online, you book, you're an EV, and you can park up to 90 minutes. Why are you so excited about this project?
Well, for the first time, it will enable delivery companies to pre-book their spot. So there's no driving around looking for a space in a busy central London location like Covent Garden or Victoria, where we've got the first two trials. This gives the distribution companies the ability to pre-plan where they're going to park, so they've got a defined time to deliver the goods, and they can do it quickly, efficiently, and without any fuss or delay.
So you mentioned you've got two bays here. How much of a difference can two bays actually make?
Well, it's a trial, so we're not going to change the world with two bays. But if it works over the next 18 months, then it gives us the go-ahead to unveil more of these bays right across Westminster, so that we have a network of bays, so that businesses can have a choice of where they book a spot at a time that suits them.
So you say if it works, how do you judge success?
Well, we're working in partnership with Grid, who are providing the technology, and we'll clearly be liaising with them on a weekly basis to work out usage, iron out problems, so that we have real-time information about how it's working.
The bay here is for electric vehicles only, but I notice there's a startling lack of an electric vehicle charger. I take it that you need some evidence to make sure that it's worth investing the money in putting a charger in, and this will help give that?
Well, we have the highest number of electric vehicle chargers in London, 2,500, and we're installing more overnight chargers, more rapid chargers and more fast chargers. So we want to do more, and if this works, then it will obviously be a candidate for a EV charger over here.
Now, your remit is also air quality, so I guess that as we transition to electric vehicles, and you've still got internal combustion engine vehicles around as well, having some sort of bookable parking space will actually have an air quality advantage for traditional vans, by the fact that they wouldn't then be circling around trying to find somewhere near where they need to deliver, if they can turn up and know that when they turn up, they've got somewhere to actually be able to stop.
Yes, this applies to both EV and to petrol and diesel vehicles as well, because what we want to reduce is the amount of miles that drivers have to travel around the city to find a parking spot, emitting emissions and making life more difficult for pedestrians, cyclists and people going about their daily work.
Well, we've got a delivery taking place right behind us at the moment. It shows it's a really busy place and this is needed. I notice that it's up to 90 minutes. Now, I don't expect that this van that we've got here parked near to the bookable bay is going to be here for 90 minutes. So what's the thinking about being able to allow people to park for that long?
Well, for example, take a delivery vehicle that's taking lots of parcels to residents around the corner, of which there are many, as well as businesses. They can park their white van and they can then take out a trolley, and then they can walk around the area delivering their parcels to residents and businesses. It might take them 30, it might take them 60 minutes. It depends how many parcels they've got to deliver, but they'll know that before they book. So they say, we've got 60 parcels to deliver. We reckon one a minute, we'll do it in an hour. If they've only got 30 parcels, half an hour. They can make the choice based on what they've got to deliver.
And there is a charge to parking. It's £3.30 for half an hour. But I guess from a freight perspective, the cost savings of time management and efficiency of knowing that you can park near where you need to be and avoiding a parking ticket, all those things make the cost actually, you know, really inconsequential.
Yeah, I would have thought £3.30 for half an hour is great value to park in the heart of the West End, any day of the week, any time of the day.
That's an interesting point, you say any time of the day. 24-hour-a-day bookable parking, I guess, what's the thinking behind having it for 24 hours a day? You're really going to expect freight possibly to be delivering at 11 o'clock at night or something?
Well, we want to give ourselves the flexibility, and we want to give everybody, the distribution companies, the flexibility. But we're dealing here, we can do it with electric because they're silent. You know, we have residents complain when big lorries arrive and they're delivering heavy materials. This will give those white vans the ability to deliver books or clothes any time of the day or night, silently, quietly, efficiently, so it won't disturb the neighbours, but it will get your parcel to you quickly.
Overall, summarise what your advice would be from somebody at the sharp end in one of the megacities of the world to EV freight vehicle manufacturers in what they should be thinking about when they're going to be designing the next generation.
Well, I think with white vans in mind, then you've got to have all the technology so that you are able to book your spot in the place you want it at the time you want it. It's not just the quality of the vehicle, but it's all the technology that goes with it to enable you to do your job the best way you can.
I guess with geofenced space and with connected vehicles in the future, the holy grail would be the van pulls up and automatically you know that the space has been booked, you know you're in it, you know you've left it, and you get charged during that time automatically without even having to press a button.
Yeah, well, that would be terrific. Technology is moving on every day, so it won't be long before all of this will be second nature to our children and our grandchildren, if not sooner.
Westminster Council's Cabinet Member for City Management and Air Quality, Paul de Moldenburg, there with a well-thought-out strategy for testing the tech and then gathering the evidence for a wider rollout. But what do drivers think of it? I stuck a microphone in the face of the first two to be using the new booking system.
Paul, delivery driver.
Diwan Ashrafi, shift manager in Carlsberg.
What challenges do you face when you're delivering around somewhere like Westminster?
Always parking. You know, you're restricted with your parking and congestion, obviously.
The parking space outside the pubs, that's a big issue. Definitely big issue.
So consequently, having the ability to be able to book a space, turn up and know it's going to be there, yeah, must be almost game-changing for you.
Well, it's a bonus, isn't it? Obviously, yeah. You can book in advance and it will save time and also save battery driving around trying to find a charging point. That's always a problem. Someone's or someone on it.
That is a fantastic idea, though, that, you know, as long as our vehicle got space, and for electric vehicle, if there is a space for specifically electric, that would be a fantastic idea for beer delivery games, yeah.
Is there an issue that, unlike where you just park up normally, this time you're going to have to pay £3.30 for half an hour, or does the efficiency of being able to just turn up and park and not risk getting a ticket get completely offset the cost of doing it?
Yeah, it will do, yeah. I mean, if you can book in advance, that's your parking space in advance, isn't it? So you're going to charge, simple as that. Otherwise, you are actually trying to drive around to find an available charging point.
Do you think that the fact that there is one thing lacking at this point, which is that you've got a parking space but you haven't got a charge point, do you think that this project could help build up the case, I suppose, for the authority to invest in putting a charge point in here as well?
Exactly, yeah, definitely, yeah. The more charging points, the better. There's not enough in London. Most of them are slow charging. You'd rather have a fast charger, less time waiting, more time when you're working, you know, so it would be a bonus, yeah.
They're going to be very good if there is any electric charging point on the delivery, you know, or when we make the delivery. We can always connect our vehicle and make sure the rest of the work we can do very easy and safely.
So that's the delivery drivers, but what of the man who came up with the concept in the first place? Grid Smarter City's founder and CEO Neil Heron, who spent more than a decade bringing it to fruition.
Probably 12 or more years in the making, but yes, it's great to finally see it on the ground, ready to go in London.
We've got two spaces here. The first time, I think, that delivery drivers can actually book a space rather than just rely on first come first served.
Yeah, we're moving from first come first served into order on the streets, and the delivery drivers are really warming to it.
Now, looking at the technology, you've got the sign that's kind of like a Kindle in the fact that you can change the writing on it. You've got the app that allows you to book the space. It seems quite straightforward joined up technology, but I guess the devil is in the detail in actually delivering this.
There's a lot of complicated legislation that sits behind, and we've had to make sure that we can work with current regulations. And the technology is technology. It's used there as an enabling tool. Technology's there. People use apps, people use smartphones, and it's quite easy and straightforward to do. It's solving a practical problem at the curbside.
So explain to me what you mean about using present legislation and the regulations that are around what you're able to deliver here.
Well, we're able to deliver effectively a digital permit at the side of the road, allowing the vehicle to have permission to be there without receiving a penalty charge notice. The legislation is quite complex with the Traffic Management Act, Road Traffic Regulation Act, Local Authority Traffic Order Procedures. So there's a complicated background, but the simplicity is that it's a digital permit for a certain class of vehicle to be at a certain location at a certain time.
So what you've done, I guess, then, is you've ticked off the potential legal challenges against, for example, getting a ticket for parking when you shouldn't be here. So there is no need for a council to pass any new legislation or for any central government legislation to allow this to happen. You've kind of looked at it from what can we do now and how can we enable what we can do now.
That's correct. We can use the local authority traffic order procedures to create the experimental or permanent orders, whatever's needed. It doesn't need any new primary legislation or secondary legislation. It could be done with what we have now.
Looking at the fact that of all the places that we're doing it near Covent Garden, we're doing it in Westminster, we're doing it in the heart of London. How important is it to get something as flagship as Westminster to work with?
It is an absolute flagship in Westminster, and what we've been doing for the past 5-6 years is travelling around the world and cities such as Sydney, Melbourne, we've been in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, cities in China, and they're all watching and waiting for Westminster to go live.
But you've talked about these world mega cities, but if I'm running transport and highways in Trumpton, for example, is this applicable to me?
Yes, anybody that has a problem. So it's a small town, a village, they might have a problem high street. It's a granular micro solution or a macro solution, so it can be used at scale if needed, or for 2 or 3 locations within a town.
Now, this is specifically for electric vehicles and this is specifically for deliveries, but actually I would really quite like to have the ability, if I happen to have to drive into London for a particular reason, to be able to book a parking space myself. And I don't mind paying for it, but I would, you know, the opportunity would be great for me. Is there a chance that we could expand this so that spaces across London are available to anybody who wants to book them, not just EV light goods vehicles?
That is the future of the potential of having a bookable curbside, whether it be for private motorists or commercial vehicles. Commercial vehicles have a critical curbside need at the moment because they've got to deliver goods, service buildings, and what else they need to do. For the motorists, I think it's further downstream, but when we come to the installation of electric vehicle infrastructure for everyone, it's going to make sense that you're actually able to book your charger, so you're guaranteed the certainty of a charge if you're travelling around the country.
Grid Smarter City CEO Neil Heron there at the launch of the curbside loading bay booking system in Westminster, and we'll keep an eye on the project as it develops and keep you up to date on Highways News.
Highways Voices, the podcast from highwaysnews.com.
Adrian's accolade in a moment or two after we've caught up with our podcast partners.
Highways Voices, with the latest news and events from our partner organisations Elkrig, ADEPT, the Transport Technology Forum and ITS UK.
The Department for Transport is working to release the list of local authorities who've been successful in winning a share of £40 million of new money to make traffic signals more efficient during the week of the 11th of March. It was hoped the awards notices would be released by the end of February, but because of an unprecedented response from local councils, where nearly all those eligible applied either directly or through a combined authority, assessing the bids has taken longer than expected. The Transport Technology Forum is working with Elkrig, the local council roads innovation group, to manage the challenge process on behalf of the DFT. Talking of Elkrig, the organisation is hosting a webinar on Thursday morning, the 7th of March, to explain how talking traffic was introduced into the Netherlands and its potential to improve traffic management in the UK. Talking traffic, delivered by Monotch, is an initiative using the exchange of real-time data between road users and intelligent traffic infrastructure to improve traffic flow and road safety. You can sign up to the webinar on the Elkrig website. It's hosted by yours truly. The latest monthly blog from ADEPT Live Labs 2 has been published. This month, the blog features Giles Perkins, Programme Director for Live Labs 2. Giles talks about sustainable infrastructure, carbon-focused innovations, and the Live Labs 2 programme. He also considers the significance of measuring the true carbon impact of highway interventions and highlights the rigorous baseline assessments conducted by the Live Labs 2 projects. He looks at the diverse approaches to carbon calculations and their potential impact on future decision-making within the sector. All blogs are available on the ADEPT website, and don't forget, you can book your place at the Live Labs 2 Expo, which will take place on the 17th of April in Birmingham, showcasing insights, innovations and collaboration across the programme. And there was standing room only at the ITS UK annual conference in Manchester last week alongside the Interchange event. The conference provided some fascinating insights into the key opportunities and challenges facing the ITS sector, hearing from CCAV on the progress of the automated vehicle bill, from DFT, Ertico and TFWM on the World Congress in 2027, from TFWM and AWS on how we can best integrate transport services. National Highways talked about user behaviour measures and how they can reduce emissions, and the DFT gave an update on the latest traffic signals funding. Plus, there were panels covering data and AI, Mars, road safety and diversity. A recording will be available in due course.
Highways Voices with Paul Hutton and Adrian Tatum.
That's almost it for this week, but we've still got time to tip our hat to someone or some people doing great things in the industry as Adrian picks his worthy winners of
Adrian's accolade.
My accolade this week goes to the team Stamp It Out. The campaign is calling on the whole supply chain to help raise awareness of the challenges facing our workforce, as well as the solutions being provided to solve them. Respect our Workforce Week, which aims to empower the workforce and influence a change of attitudes towards the highway sector's workers, take place between the 10th and 15th of March. The campaign aims to keep on highlighting the issue of workforce abuse and update the industry on the success of the campaign, provide the industry with a number of resources to enable them to support this, work with police forces around the country to work towards delivering more convictions, and work with the government to raise awareness and encourage them to understand the extent of the challenges related to abuse of public-facing workers. The last 12 months has seen over 150 companies sign the Stamp It Out commitment, including several global authorities. That's why they're worthy winners of my accolade this week.
They are the winners who are indeed worthy and recipients of
Adrian's accolade
this week. And that'll do it for Highways Voices. Great to get out onto the streets and see real-life tech solutions in action. Join us again next week for more transport talk here on Highways Voices.
Highways Voices. Join us again next week for more insights from those that matter in the industry.